Hello and welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lethargic Luke Cutforth.
You know what? True.
This week we're talking about circadian science and maladaptive melatonin, but first, Luke, I've got a little question for you.
Question ahead.
Do you have ADHD, and how is your sleep? Two questions. I lied. There's two questions. Answer them now.
Bad is the answer to both of those.
Snap. Same. So we're talking about this whole... You sent this to me, actually, didn't you?
Probably. I don't remember anything that happened more than yesterday.
That's because of the ADHD. No, you sent me this study. Well, you didn't send me this study. What you sent me was a tweet.
That's the limit of my abilities, Corey. Scroll and I send.
And from that tweet, I found this study, which was linked there, which I assume you haven't read.
Oh, is this to do with basically treating ADHD as a circadian rhythm disorder?
Yes, it is.
I do remember reading about this. Yes, and I did actually click on the link and read a little bit more, I'll have you know.
Oh, wow, well done. Good job. We're on equal footing then, because I didn't read any more than that 5-page paper.
So when did they knight Mr. Cadian Science?
That was good.
Thank you.
Okay, that was good. It was severely delayed, which makes sense because of the ADHD, right? That checks out.
Well, I couldn't interrupt your intro, Corey.
Oh, no, you've never done that before. Not once. That would just be uncouth. No, so this study, you sent it to me, as I said, it's about ADHD stuff, circadian rhythm disorder, circadian rhythm being, you know, the thing that makes you go to sleep and wake up at the right time. We both have ADHD.
Yeah, I spent my 20s basically being like, why do I have a thing where I like want to go to sleep at like 3 a.m. and I can work until 3 or 4 a.m. and go to sleep and wake up at midday. And that's when I get my best work done. And if I try to work at normal hours like a normal person, I don't get anything done. And then someone was like, maybe I have ADHD. And then I spent three years being like, no, this is just a personal choice I'm making.
I'm pretty sure on the podcast that in the ADHD episode, I was like, hey, I think I'm like, I have two of these things. I might have ADHD, and I was shut down so immediately, like being told, no, that's not enough. To be fair, though, I didn't realize all of the other things that meant that I had ADHD at the time.
That too, yeah. I mean, this story, basically, this study, when I saw it, hooked into two of my great loves that will get my attention, which is first, reading about ADHD and how to improve it. Mm-hmm. And second, reading about how it's not actually real and gaslighting myself and then going, there's actually something else wrong with you. And, you know, you ignore all the doctors who you've ever spoken to.
Both can be true at the same time. First of all, I love that you say improving ADHD, just making your ADHD better. I cannot focus on anything. That's what improving ADHD is.
Gotta go all in.
Well, all or nothing thinking is something, never mind. But the other part of that is that both things can be true at the same time, Luke. I don't think that ADHD is the only thing wrong with you, right? Something else can also be the cause of those other problems.
What I meant, Corey.
You got a long list.
I'm not going to bother to correct that. Yeah, that was too good. Very good. Well done.
Now, have you ever, so do you know ADHD medication, right? Or any medication, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I know of it.
Have you ever looked at all of the warnings on those, right? How long the sort of like, here are all the side effects and everything that can happen, blah, 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 right?
I mean, I just feel like that's every medication, is it not?
Yeah, but I'm tailoring it to this specific episode, yeah?
What are they? I haven't read it, no.
Well, I'm not going to read them. I could probably go and grab one and read it out. I'm not going to do that because that would make for terribly boring listening, slightly more boring than what we already do. But no, I was just going to say that upon reading that list and then having a think about one of my best friends in the world, of course, you, I realized the long list of problems.
The first nice thing Corey's ever said on the podcast about
is
me.
Longer than the... Oh.
Sorry.
No, I shouldn't finish what I was saying then.
Okay, no, go on.
The list of problems that you have is longer than...
The list of side effects.
The list of side effects.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Well, thank you.
I don't like when you say that I'm being nice to you when I'm not.
Undercutting what I just said.
This is in the past few weeks, right? Because obviously I had to edit and go back over our conversations and realize, wow, I'm a terrible person. I notice that often, or at least once recently, which accounts as often, right? If I remember it, that's often enough. You have said, wow, you're being so nice to me because you haven't clocked that I'm being really not nice. And I feel like I get a window into young Luke where you're like, wow, everyone is so nice all the time.
It's really interesting because it's like you're like the opposite of like half of the YouTubers, where all the other YouTubers were like mean to each other behind their back. are nice to each other's faces, mm-hmm. and you are nice to me behind my back and rude to my face.
Yeah, of course. Why would I ever be nice to your face? Then you win. That's not okay. Okay? Like, I could say the most wonderful things about you in the world, but if you and the world were to hear them, that would just be the end of me. I can't live with that, Luke.
Yeah, you don't want to live in that world.
Yeah, at my funeral, instead of like a eulogy where everyone says nice things about me, I will just have people read out the nice things that I've written about them. That's what I'll do.
But you can only say it in death.
Oh, I won't say it. They have to say it. That's the key thing, right? I've written it out for everyone to read, and then they're reading all. And imagine, right? Imagine how horribly uncomfortable that would be, especially if it if it hadn't been explained prior. To step up at someone's funeral and then start reading off this list of things about how great you are, right? I feel like that would be the final the final screw you to everyone that loved me.
Imagine if you were at the funeral and then you were one of the only people that didn't have a nice thing written about them.
I know, like, I shouldn't care in death, right? You know, if I'm dead, I'm mm-hmm. dead and mm-hmm. nothing matters. But if people that I'm like, you weren't a real one, you know? You weren't a real one. And you show up to my funeral and you're also being like, oh, wow, he was such a great blah, blah, blah. No, be horrible about me the way you were when I was alive. I'm not any better now that I'm dead. If anything, I'm worse. I smell slightly better for a bit, you know, because I'll probably get a shower or whatever they do at the undertakers.
Shower you.
They clean you up. They embalm you. It's the equivalent of like a nice spa day for a dead body.
Yeah, I don't think it's in a shower though.
What I'm saying, look, it's the closest thing that I'm gonna get to a shower, right? Uh-huh. Like I'm a very clean person about a quarter of the time. No, if I leave the house, which I rarely do, of course. If I leave the house, then I will be clean. But mm-hmm. otherwise.
You'll sponge bath yourself.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But I'm just saying that if I die, I'll be like the cleanest I'll ever have been for a bit, and then I'll start to decay again. So I'm just getting worse by the minute. Don't pretend to be nice to me.
Okay.
You know, pretend to be nice to me now when I can appreciate it.
When you smell.
It. Yeah, when I smell and can appreciate it. But the episode that we're doing today, Luke.
Yeah.
It's about ADHD, which is why we've gone off on all those tangents, right? People might be thinking, you guys, you're not getting into the topic quick enough, okay? You're just dawdling on completely unrelated subjects. But what we're actually doing is, of course, giving people an insight, a window into the mind of someone with ADHD.
ADHD simulation.
Some podcasts will talk about it. They'll read facts and they'll read figures. But you won't really truly get to understand ADHD until you've listened to this podcast and gone, wait, why are we talking about embalming dead bodies? I thought this episode was about ADHD and sleep.
It'd be really fun if we just never got to the topic.
I honestly was so Noah was supposed to join this episode, and dude, can I just say, before we actually deeply get into the topic, again, we've spoken about how there's this sort of paper that's kind of trying to characterize ADHD as a circadian rhythm disorder, meaning that it's more about sleeping and wakefulness rather than you know, all of the other stuff that people say ADHD is about, right? And it's really funny that this recording session we had to push back already, like we couldn't do it yesterday, and then we pushed it to today, and then we pushed it back by 30 minutes, and then another 10 minutes, and then another 5 minutes,
yeah,
and then we spent ages just talking about nothing before we started recording,
and then our guest didn't turn up.
Why, Luke? Because he's sleepy. Because he's too sleepy to do
it. It's a perfect ADHD episode. I love it. We just need to release it a week late and we've done, we're sorted.
I will You'll absolutely do that. I'll do my best to get this out on time, which means, of course, that it will be. I messaged him this morning being like, hey, you don't need to do this because, you know, I know you were awake at 5 a.m. And you've been not sleeping really well the past few days. And he was like, no, I will do this. I'll be fine to do it. I know I can do this. It's okay. And I was like, I'm going to have to set up cameras and stuff for you to do this. So, like, I'm just going to wait until we're just about to start recording before I do any of that camera setup and stuff. Because even though you're adamant that you're going to be able to do this, I got a feeling. And then I want to say like 15, 20 minutes before we were supposed to start recording. I mean, before we were supposed to start recording initially, not the time that we pushed it back to, obviously. But just before we were supposed to start recording, he was like, actually, when you messaged me, I had just woken up and I did not realize how tired I was. So
that would have been perfect for the episode, though.
Oh, it would have been great. Yeah.
A really messed up, sleepy Noah.
Just Noah then, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, we've got you, Luke, you know, messed up and sleepy.
But I'm not messed up and sleepy for those reasons. I'm messed up and sleepy because my babies are a little
I mean, it's compounding, I think, you know, it's compounding. No, let's talk about this. So what is ADHD? I've got a very small section on ADHD because we've never covered it on the podcast before. We've never spoken about ADHD. Nobody who's watching this knows about ADHD. Luke, tell me, what is ADHD is?
You don't have enough dopamine and it doesn't release for the right reasons. And sometimes a little bit of norepinephrine as well. He's all messed up too.
I love this atonal song.
Especially if you're a lady.
What?
I think ADHD in women is like more likely to be benefited by higher norepinephrine regulation medication or something. Oh. Maybe I pulled that out my ass. I don't know.
No. Sorry. You confused me because you weren't using the right terminology for a set. So I genuinely got
noradrenaline?
Confused.
Is that what I meant?
No. It's Lady HD.
Oh, Lady HD.
Yeah, Lady HD. Of course, very nice.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a sort of, what is it officially? Like a neurodivergence? Where
it's mental, mate. It's mental.
It's a neurodivergence characterized by a bunch of symptoms like not being able to sustain attention, forgetting stuff, being dysphoric about things like getting rejected.
Hold on.
losing things. Where's your keys? I don't know. Something like that.
You gotta be careful about using the term dysphoric. Because yeah. A certain community...
You're feeling dysphoric about that, Corey?
No. I'm saying a certain community is kind of... laid claim to that word, you know?
Well, it was around before they were.
Whoa,
that's not true. Get your own thing.
That community, of which we won't name, has been around, I don't know why we're not saying it, but that community has been around forever, you know?
Those individuals. But it was around before they were claiming dysphoric as a term, is my point.
Oh, so you're saying that you're the hipster. I see. I get it.
I was dysphoric before it was cool. No, what I'm talking about is rejection-sensitive dysphoria, which is like a sort of... It's like a sort of side, a little tangent symptom to ADHD, where it's like you find being rejected especially sort of difficult, and you are like hypersensitive to stuff that seems like you're being rejected,
Luke,
even though
sorry,
it might
this
not
is a bit
be.
Much. This is a bit much. Can we just... That's for real, though. That's a bit of a tangent. We're not going to go on. It's you're getting away in the weeds. But don't feel bad about it.
I'm such a bad person.
I wouldn't say you're a bad person. I'd say evil, personally.
Okay. Evil, I can, you know... I can deal with that.
You can't help being evil. Do you
You're
know what
so
I mean?
Right.
It's just a fundamental aspect of you.
I was and born when, this way.
When I think of Luke Cutforth, I think of the word evil, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. next to each other in the dictionary, aren't they?
Yes. It's a very small dictionary you've got. Not many letters.
Weird dictionary as well. Why is there a proper noun in there?
There could be proper nouns in a dictionary, right?
Not
Surely.
My name.
Why not your name? Make your name a proper noun. Do it. Do something so... I suppose the issue with this... do you know what I'll do? I'll go back to the start of my sentence, and then I'll finish my sentence, and then I'll add the addendum thought that I just cut into just there for all of this to make sense. So I think what you could do is, if you do something just so infamous, is probably the easiest way, something so infamous that your name is forever connected to that, right?
Yeah.
Like, almost like how Watergate made it so that you can add gate to something and it means it's a scandal. And if you do that, then your name might be in the dictionary. But my issue that I found is that your name, Luke, actually already sounds like a word. Which, of course, is Luke.
If you're Scottish, yeah.
And you are. I am.
Yeah. But the thing is, the problem with that, Corey, is that there aren't any, like, all the people who've already done that, who've been pretty awful, I don't think they're in the dictionary. I don't think you're like, oh, I really Genghis Khan'd this week. Oh, I've really Donald Trumped myself. Like,
I don't know. You've heard of a Trump card, haven't you? Yeah, Trump to you.
I'm not even going to get into mm-hmm. that. Get on mm-hmm. with the... Talk about the study.
First of all, don't you tell me what to do. And second of all, I'm just going to read from some website that I found a definition for ADHD on, linked below. Can't remember what it's called. Probably
nice.
National Institute of Health or something like that. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. ADHD is a developmental disorder marked by persistent symptoms of inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. But bear in mind, some people still say ADD, not a thing. It's all ADHD. They've not separated out ADD and ADHD. I think it's just inattentive and hyperactive type or whatever. It's more complex.
And combined type.
And combined, yes. Sorry, that's when I say that and that, I'm meaning, for some reason, I'm like, obviously the combined type is implied because that's what we put.
Yeah, it's very self-centered of you, Corey.
I mean, we're doing a podcast, Luke. Do you think I'm going to be like a sort of paragon of virtue, a humble, I don't know how to end that sentence. I've never used the word humble in a sentence.
Yeah.
Anyway, some people mostly have symptoms of inattention. Others mostly have symptoms of hyperactivity and impulsivity, which we've just covered, of course. Mm-hmm. And some people, Luke, some people, you won't believe this. You won't, honestly.
No.
Some people have both types of symptoms.
No way. Those people are smelly.
That's, I mean, not untrue. It's hard to shower, Luke. You've got to wash your whole body the entire, like every single time. That's not cool. That's not okay. And I've got to clean my house, and I've also got to clean my shower as well. Why would I clean the thing that gets me clean?
You got to shower whilst you're unable to focus on anything, but your legs are also running all the time? What? How are you going to do that?
It's insane, Luke. It's insane. And then, you know, so I used to take my phone into the shower, right? Mm-hmm. Because I kind of have a shower bath, as they're called. I was kind of a pioneer of the concept. It's where you sit in the bath and you have a shower, and the shower fills up the bath.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Very good.
But isn't that really cold?
No. Oh. No. Because you can fill the bath a little bit at first with some hot water if you want, or you can just have the shower be scalding.
Oh.
Or something else. I don't know. It works, man. It works. Just trust the process. So if I'm shower bathing it, right? Sometimes I'll have my phone in there, right? You know. I stopped taking my phone into the bathroom with me when I go to shower. For one reason, it's really bad for the phone.
Mm.
Not great to have it full of steam.
No.
But also, I was like, sometimes I'm getting distracted in the shower and my showers are taking too long and I'm spending too long getting ready. If I just don't have my phone remotely even anywhere near me, then I won't be tempted to like go on it to respond to a text or check something and then get stuck doing something else, right? I won't do any of that. And then I realized, actually, no, I can get distracted by absolutely nothing in the shower and still spend like 30 minutes to an hour without even realizing that I've done that.
What are you getting distracted? Actually, maybe I don't want the answer to that.
No, in my own mind. Literally in my own, just, not even stress thoughts, just, I'm just thinking.
That's quite good for you though, because there's a whole thing about, I watched this psychologist-y guy, he made a video called like, you need to be bored. And the whole idea was like, we in the modern world, we have so much stimulation and we're so, like, as soon as we're even slightly bored, if we're slightly low stimulation, whatever, we just pull out our headphones, stick a podcast on, stick a music on. I've actually realized recently that one of my most addictive devices is my AirPods, my headphones, because it's so, like, I can just do that. Whereas before you'd have to like untangle this thing and plug it in and everything. Now it's just bang. Oh, now I've got a podcast in my ears. But the whole idea was basically you actually need to have put your brain into a thing called default mode network, which is where you get your sort of reflection and stuff done. And that's what you're doing in the shower. If you're getting like, your brain is just going on like, whoop, 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 where are we going? Following random tangents. That's actually really good for your brain.
Mm.
Really good for your mental health. It's sort of like somewhat closer to meditation, I suppose. It's not meditation, to be clear, but it's like good in restorative sense for your brain. Much better than sticking on a podcast or like watching a random YouTube video.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No, it depends on the podcast or YouTube video, Luke, remember.
It's really good. And I realized like recently by practicing it that like I never want to do it, but 5 minutes after I start, I'm like, thank goodness I did this. Because I remember loads of stuff I've forgotten. Mm. I like think things over and realize, oh, that's why that thing happened, or like, oh, that's why that person was upset, or that's why I was upset about that thing or whatever. It's really good for you. I recommend it. So good. Have long showers, Corey. That's very good.
Sometimes I forget to put on music or whatever, right? If I'm cooking, I'll forget to put on music, I'll forget to do something. And so I'm just cooking and then my mind's just wandering. And then I'm like, oh, I'm just thinking. So that, it does happen a lot.
Yeah.
I do, you know, because I, again, probably because of the ADHD, meaning that I forget to put on the thing that is supposed to be stimulating.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good.
But I do want to point out, Luke, that since you've watched that video, you and I have come together and we've tailored a perfect YouTube and podcast experience such that people can get that exact feeling of not listening to a podcast whilst listening to this. So don't do exactly what Luke said and, you know, not turn on a podcast or not turn on a YouTube video. Instead, put on this podcast and our YouTube videos.
This nonsense rambling podcast rather than the nonsense rambling in your own mind.
It's basically the same as listening to nothing. Sorry, Luke, you said about your AirPods being something you just, like, that your most addictive device, right?
Mm.
And I have a story about this. You also have a story about this.
Ooh.
Where I called you the other day, and you answered.
Yes.
And you didn't say anything. So I was like, oh no, maybe I didn't put, because when I call you, I usually have you on speakerphone, right? Or you're in my AirPods.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that slight period before I hit speaker where I can't necessarily hear you. And so I was like, oh no, did I just miss where it went to voicemail? But it didn't ring long enough to go to voicemail, but it's just silent. And it's silent. So it's not like it's a butt dial. Like you've answered while it's in your pocket, because there's no noise whatsoever.
Yeah, I would be farting all the time if I'd done that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it looks a big farter. Oh, that's why he's not in the room with me right now. He's had to, medically, I have been told you can't be around that anymore. I've those been noxious quarantined. Gases. Yeah. It's real bad, but no, but I was going to say, I called you, you answered, you said nothing, and I was just talking at you, which is normal.
This.
I was like, oh no, Luke must be like really busy or whatever, because he's not even mentioned the fact that I've called him. Usually, like if he's got a missed call from me, like he'll maybe get in contact or something. So I'll just leave him for a little bit and let him chill out. And then I called you again a few days later and you were like, I think I had a dream that you called me. I was like, no, Luke, I called you. What the hell happened? What did happen?
I'd had 3 hours sleep maximum that night because, again, my baby was being a shit. I basically was having a nap just before I had to pick her up from nursery because I was like, that's going to be draining. So I had a quick, like, half an hour, 45-minute nap. And then in that 45 minutes, I fell asleep with my headphones on, listening to like a meditation-y thing that's like, ooh, yeah, relax your brain. And I must have answered in my sleep or like in a vague sort of like in-betweeny state, but then not been awake enough to reply. And I just had this vague memory of Corey being like, I think you said something like, oh, I can hear you now. Or like, oh, I think it's connected or something. And then I don't remember anything else. And I just wrote that off as that was a weird, pointless dream where I spoke to, well, Corey spoke to me for 10 seconds. And then 2 days later, when you called me, I was like, hang on, we've been here before.
Yes, I have called you before. Yeah.
No, deja vu. And then in that moment, I went, well, that must have been real.
It
and
was.
You informed me that it was.
100%. It was so strange. I was like, dude, I'm talking. Look, if you're talking, I can't hear you, by the way, but if you can hear me, let me know. Like, I thought I was communicating with someone. You were asleep. But we should get into the study. So we've spoken about what ADHD is. Symptoms start in childhood, interfere with daily life, including social relationships, school, work performance, blah, 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 blah. You know what ADHD is. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the interesting part. So this study is called ADHD as a Circadian Rhythm Disorder, Evidence and Implications for Chronotherapy.
Chronotherapy. So time therapy.
Well done. We're sounds a lot more
put
interesting.
Put lots of clocks around you so you always know the time, so you can't be time blind, which is another symptom of ADHD.
Yeah, that doesn't work though. I'll tell you why. Even outside of all of the clocks that I have on all of the devices that I have, including the
true.
Watch that I wear on my wrist,
true.
Which in true Spy Kids fashion, by the way, Luke, shall I say, I don't really use it to tell time. This watch does everything for mm-hmm. me, except for tell. There's so much stuff in my Apple Watch that it no longer tells the time. It tracks my sleep. And one of my friends said to me the other day, they were like, why do you use that? I just track my sleep based on how I feel. And I'm like, well, one, I always feel tired. And two, I literally will not remember when I went to sleep or when I woke up or anything like that the same day that it happened. Like I won't.
You're so sleepy.
Yeah, because I'm so sleepy. I'm too sleepy to remember. Like I need to see the raw data to know how my sleep is going. Do you know what I mean? But no, my watch does everything except for tell the time. I've got a clock in this room that I'm looking at right now. And to be fair, it is a clock that you were also sent by Marvel. That is a very terrible clock because it's a clock character. So she has a clock face, but the clock doesn't line up to the clock that's on her face.
Slightly diagonal, yeah.
It took me a while to figure out when I was hanging it up. And there's also a clock in my living room. And every single time, like, whenever my phone isn't on me or I have my watch on or anything like that, or my watch doesn't tell the time, of course, so, you know, I can have my watch on, I'll turn to Noah and I'll be like, what's the time? And the clock is right in front of me. I literally forget that we have this, like, big, you know the big steampunk clock in my living room, right?
Probably.
You've been there? Come on!
Attention. Yes, absolutely. I love that clock. My favorite clock.
Unmissable. And yet
no
I miss
other
it
clocks
every
exist
single
to
time.
Me except for that clock. That's why I never know what time it is.
That's my fault. I took the one. That's the thing. I took the one
Corey.
Clock that you can see and I put it in my house. No, so it's that's the title of it. The authors are from Canada. Jesus. There was a long thing there. They're from Queen's University, I think, and the University of Ottawa. In Canada. It's Brandon Liu and Nicholas Fabiano. It was published 10th of December 2025 in Frontiers in Psychiatry. So, do you remember anything from this study, Luke? Anything that it says?
I think, crucially, the idea, or at least one of the ideas in this study, was basically the idea of if we treat ADHD as basically a circadian rhythm disorder, i.e. the brain's normal mechanisms for sleep are not behaving as they ought to or as is best for you. And we try to sort of manually shift back the clock, basically the body clock of somebody with ADHD by, I think 5 hours was the idea. And I think in this case, it was by administering a small amount of melatonin, which if anyone's ever taken melatonin supplements, normally you take them like when you're ready to go to bed. And I think the idea here was actually, no, take them like 5 hours early so that you're like building up your sleep pressure, I think it's called generally, so that when you go, when you ought to go to sleep, you actually do go to sleep. And I'm pretty sure that the results were very positive in terms of treating ADHD basically as like, you're just not getting sleepy at the right time. And that's why your brain is kind of like then struggling with the things that it's struggling with. Of course, you're just so sleepy, or at least like treating you as if you are so sleepy has positive effects.
Okay, so that's the episode then.
No, I mean, I don't know like what the method was, and I'm literally going off of memory there. But is that roughly right? Sorry. I mean, I think that's the first time I've ever absolutely nailed it. Normally you just go like, yeah, that's kind of right, but you're wrong in these ways.
You started talking and I was like, beautiful. Damn, he is, like, I do remember, this is really good. I remember reading all of this. I don't know if I put all of that in my notes.
This is what happens when I click the Twitter link and don't just send you the tweet. I need to send you the tweet. Otherwise,
you need to not read anything. No, I mean, you've done really well there. I think the one thing is that this is a review. I don't think the people that wrote this did these sort of experiments, shall we say.
Yeah.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah. I mean, I would argue that the real lazy thing would be looking at a review that scientists have done, uh-huh, and then just like hacking that up and packaging it to an audience who, you know, also don't understand the science. That would be the real lazy thing. But thank God no one's doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Thank goodness for that.
I don't think there are a lot of studies referenced in this or spoken about in this, but as far as I'm aware, and I could be wrong, but I sincerely doubt that I'm wrong, because it's 5 pages and not a single section is called methods or results.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good tell.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a review. But a lot of the stuff you're saying there is spot on.
Here's what we found, but we're not going to tell you how we did it.
Shh. Don't say it. This is science, but it's secret science.
Yes.
I mean, that's just magic then at that point, isn't it? That's or religion. And no, this ADHD study, so you've kind of shot me in the leg or in the foot or in some region of my body in describing everything all up front, so we'll kind of pull back a little bit and just talk about ADHD and sleep issues first, right? So I've got some data here for you. Would you like to hear some statistics?
Please. Nothing I want more, Corey. Give me some numbers.
So what percentage of people with ADHD, or adults with ADHD, because of course children aren't people, what percentage of people with ADHD would you say have insomnia?
80%. No.
Whoa.
Okay, is that right?
80% of adults with ADHD.
Yeah. I am nailing everything today. What is going on?
I don't like this. This feels really, really straight. Usually, Luke, I feel like you know more going into an episode than you do coming out of it.
Well, hey, there's still time for me to forget everything, Corey.
True.
I'm not sure who you are sometimes.
Yeah, we've had to come up with like a name badge system, and it's a whole thing. But 80% of people with ADHD, and up to 82% of children with ADHD have insomnia, or insomnia is present. There's really specific language that people use when describing these things, and so let's just say insomnia is present in about 80% of people with ADHD, which is a high number.
I would guess that's quite a broad definition in the sense of it's not necessarily people who would go to the doctor and go, I have insomnia, but it's people who struggle sometimes to get to sleep, who lay awake at night sometimes, who wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep, that kind of thing, which is insomnia.
Yeah, so it's not people that have insomnia, you know, who would go to the doctor and say, I've got insomnia. It's just people who have insomnia. But
yes.
I think the issue with that is that people with ADHD are probably less likely to go to the doctor, because that's a whole thing. Speaking of which, I need to go to the doctor. 73 to 78% of kids and adults with ADHD have a delayed sleep-wake cycle. Do you know what that means?
I know exactly what it means experientially, yes. I am, like I said earlier, somebody who could go to sleep at 3 a.m. and wake up at midday, no problem. If I lived on a desert island, that's what I'd be doing. That's what I was doing all the way through my childhood. All of the YouTubers in my era, about half of them turned out to have ADHD so far.
Oh, yeah.
And there was literally a joke, I think I've said before, that there was a joke in our management that all of our management turned up for work and none of them could get any work until 11 a.m. when the YouTubers woke up.
It's really funny because I think that still happens, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, that was a previous management, actually. My current management, who we're with now, also have that as well. Yeah.
I've been told that people have emailed at like 3 a.m. They're like, oh, no, don't worry, I'll get this done. And then they've sent it through like 3 o'clock in the morning because they're like, no, that's still the same day.
For everybody else, for normal people, that deadline was 5 p.m. Yeah. Whoopsie.
Look, here's the thing. I know that... neither of our managers watch this, so we could say what we want. But also, I know that I am a culprit for this because I'll say I can get this done today. And what I mean by today is 11:59 p.m.
Yeah.
On that day.
What's today?
It's the same day. It's not my fault that you guys are enslaved by the corporate mind virus, okay? You think the day ends at 5 p.m.?
End of play!
There are 7 more hours in the day after you finish work, buddy, okay? And yeah. I've heard there are also hours in the morning, but I haven't seen those, so...
But they're the next day.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count.
But yes, delayed sleep-wake cycle. I mean, I remember once I kind of went fully nocturnal in the summer holidays at school, in part because a lot of my friends were online in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot easier to communicate with people if I was just sleeping at different... I had friends in the UK as well, Luke.
Yeah.
They were also online.
They just never saw you.
Well, they met me when I went to the YouTube conventions and whatnot.
On your way to bed, you said hello.
No, but I did like go fully nocturnal and it felt great. It was awesome. The night is so quiet. Have you noticed that?
It's lovely. I get so much done. I really like this story from John Boyega where he would like go to Asda at like midnight and then people would be like, no one would ever like recognize him and ask for a picture or ask for a signature because he, in his words, they were like, why would John Boyega be in Asda at midnight? But he was. And I used to love that. I used to love going on like late night trips to the 24-hour Tesco and buying my stuff because no one's there and you just have the whole shop to yourself. It's like a VIP experience.
No, 100%, 100%. Like it's so real. Like I can wake up early and do stuff. When I had a job, I wanted to die and I was late every single day. It's a pain to do it, but I can wake up in the morning, but it feels like just, I'm so out of whack. Do you know what I mean? From that, I feel like if I were to wake up at like 9 a.m. was an early wake up for me, that would be ideal. You know what I mean?
And as we know, everyone who wakes up in the morning is a pervert.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah, they did those studies, right?
Because they feel like P. Diddy.
No, no. No, buddy. No.
No.
That's
no.
One. Okay, so the lyric is, wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Okay? Yeah, exactly.
No, look, we're not... Okay, right. Pause Sci Guys for a moment, because we're going to get into taking apart these Kesha lyrics, okay? We're going to close read the Kesha lyrics to understand...
Maybe that's... Is that not a Patreon thing?
No.
Okay.
No, it feels like
a Patreon thing, but hey, exclusive preview of the bullshit that happens on the Patreon.
If she wakes up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, right?
What does that mean? Has she walked that statement back, or is she sticking with it?
I mean, it was just a lyric. I think P. Diddy was just a famous person that was maybe cool. Oh, maybe... Wait, I don't...
But maybe she knew.
Okay, so this is a Patreon now.
Imagine if there was a film that was like, wake up in the morning feeling like Harvey Weinstein. You'd look into them a little bit, wouldn't you?
Right.
If they knew and were in the same social circles as Harvey Weinstein, you'd be like, what did you mean by that? Do you want to walk that back now?
But, okay, I think in the Patreon, what we'll do is we'll discuss the lyrics to Kesha's hit TikTok. Of course, that's what we'll do on this science podcast.
She did the first TikTok. That's crazy.
I think the clocks did the first TikTok, Luke, but that's not the point.
But we didn't pay attention because we couldn't see the clocks.
And segue, clocks, time, time, sleep, ADHDs.
Ah. Yeah. Rewind.
I'm so good at this job, ain't I? So basically, what they're kind of pointing out here is that people with ADHD tend to sleep not so good. Which 100% true, along with like nicotine addictions, being in jail, lots of things that people with ADHD enjoy. Or not
sometimes all at the same time.
I mean, yeah. You know, not sleeping is a gateway drug to nicotine, which is, of course, a gateway drug to going to jail.
Mm, the first jump I can see. The second jump I'm not really sure about.
But nicotine leads you to marijuana, and marijuana leads you to committing crimes, which, of course, leads you to going to jail.
There we go.
Yeah. Now, if it was nicotine leading to cocaine, then it'd be white-collar crimes, which, of course, don't put you in jail.
Is that because you've got the cocaine on your collar?
Yeah, that's why it's called white-collar, Luke.
What?
100%. Did you not know that?
I thought it was just crimes committed by people in white collars.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's entirely what it is.
It's not just, okay, oops, I spilled my cocaine on my collar.
I mean, if you spilled the cocaine on your collar, you'd be hoovering that up. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, this is probably going to have to be cut because of YouTube. No, so those stats don't change too much, even when you take out sort of other mental health conditions that people with ADHD have. So other comorbid conditions. So basically, no matter how you slice it, people with ADHD don't sleep good. And that's an interesting thing to look into, right? Because if you've got one unified sort of symptom across basically everyone with this disorder, then it might hint towards a different cause, like a shared cause, or, you know, something specific that's going wrong. So looking at those reports, along with sort of sleep studies that they looked at as well, they've kind of started to come to a conclusion, or think at least we should look into ADHD being related to your circadian rhythm. So they say that approximately 3/4 of adults who developed ADHD in childhood show objective evidence of phase-delayed circadian rhythms. So those would be biological markers such as a dim light melatonin onset in saliva, core body temperature rhythms, and actigraphically recorded sleep patterns are typically shifted later by roughly 90 minutes compared to a neurotypical adult. What they're kind of saying there is that all of these sorts of things you can look at to figure out what someone's sort of let's say sort of sleep phase is, right? The times where they feel awake and the times where they feel like they need to go to sleep. There's like empirical evidence, like they've got actual data to show that if you have ADHD, there is a good chance that you're going to be shifted noticeably later than people who don't have ADHD.
And that tracks as well, because, you know, we know that like ADHD symptoms correlate, even like when you have ADHD, they get worse when you haven't slept. And also, like, the side effects of the medication get worse when you haven't slept. And so, like, and this is kind of what I meant when I said at the start that I like to look for, like, evidence of, like, to gaslight myself and be like, you haven't got ADHD. I don't mean that, like, I'm questioning that diagnosis. What I mean is that, like, ADHD and the description for it and the prescription of stimulant drugs is our current best attempt to treat a set of symptoms. ADHD describes a bunch of symptoms that happen together, and you go, that's ADHD when you have those symptoms. And I'm always looking for, like, okay, I know that, for example, just having therapy to help you like learn how to cope with an ADHD brain is roughly as beneficial to you as taking stimulant drugs. So that's fascinating, because clearly, like, just talking to someone and learning and being taught about your brain rather than probably the way you were taught was like in a sort of neurotypical sense of how to think about your brain in school and in like from everybody else in your life, that hasn't worked for you. And so just being taught something is as effective as taking a stimulant drug. Like, that surely is, there's something there that's like, there are other ways of treating this thing that aren't just taking these drugs. I'm not saying they're bad or wrong. I'm just saying that, like, I'm hopeful.
No, it's interesting you say that, though, because Hank Green posted a video recently that was shown to me, wherein...
Yeah, I added to my watch later and then forgot to watch it.
ADHD. It's a good one, though. He basically is saying that he's he found out that he was diagnosed with ADHD and some other stuff that nowadays probably would have led to him being diagnosed with autism as a child, but he's taken tests and he says he doesn't have autism now based on the clinical standards, blah 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 blah. And back then they wouldn't have diagnosed him, they weren't diagnosing kids with autism in that way unless they blah 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 blah. Watch the video, right? But the point is that he was like, oh wait, I had ADHD, why didn't you tell me, to his parents? And they were like, well, you know, you had other issues that we thought were bigger, so you know, we dealt with those. But he's like, oh wow, so I have all of these systems. He specifically references that he has a bunch of systems that he has to use to work with his brain, and which is like kind of exactly what you're talking there. And like, obviously everyone with ADHD has kind of got systems. But I think the issue is that like stimulants can be viewed kind of like how antidepressants can be used in some ways, where it's like they can give you the ability to be more able to develop these sort of systems so that you're not necessarily reliant on them. But also, I would argue that like it's exhausting having to keep up with all of these things and work with yourself in all of these ways, especially in a world that is not built for people who like work the way that people with ADHD work, it is exhausting and difficult to keep all of that up.
Yeah. The only reason I was looking for this, by the way, is because my medication wasn't working.
No, that's so fair. That's
so I was like, well, I'm going to have to try something else because this is not doing what it's meant to be doing. I mean, it was looking a little bit, but it wasn't like the kind of like panacea. Oh my God, I'm fixed. Everything's great.
I had to explain this to someone the other day. I was like, you know, they were like, so you've got ADHD medication. You say that it works. And I was like, well, yeah, I said that it works, but it takes me from being able to do absolutely nothing to being sometimes able to kind of get some stuff done, right? It's not like I take the ADHD medication and I don't have ADHD anymore. It means I take the ADHD medication and I'm able to kind of work with the ADHD slightly better. But yeah, no, it can be absolutely exhausting having to try and figure stuff out. And in my experience, even when you've got stuff kind of figured out in such a way that you're like working with yourself and you're just kind of, you know, doing things the way that work for you, it does sometimes feel like you're still on a knife's edge of, well, if this goes wrong or something unexpected happens, this could all come crashing down because I don't have a plan in place for what to do when, you know, I'm not able to do X, Y, Z.
This was me yesterday.
Oh my God. No. 100. Yes. Yeah.
We tried to record Zyguys yesterday and the software that has worked for months just randomly didn't work. And then I spent the entire day trying to fix it, spiraling and spiraling, trying desperately to fix this thing. And then I didn't fix it and I failed and I felt rubbish. And then I wasted my entire evening doing other things, trying to distract myself from the fact that I felt rubbish and trying to get one thing done so I could go to bed not feeling like a waste of space. And then I didn't even get that thing. I did that thing badly because I was so frantically trying to do it. And now I have to go and fix that thing. And also, I didn't get anything done.
Sounds like a fun time, Luke. Yeah. Glad you're having a good one.
And I had to pick up a baby and put her to bed and take her to nursery the next day. And I slept for 4 hours. Woo!
Wow, Luke, your life sounds really, really hard. If only there were a way for people to help you deal with your life. Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Oh, nice segue.
Yes, very nice segue, Luke. Your life is in shambles right now, as you've just said. And of course, the solution to all problems is what?
Money!
Wow.
This literally like an RSPCA ad, just for just £1 a month can support a Luke who can't clean his office.
Yeah, basically like that, but a bit more than £1 a month. Come on, guys. Like, pony up, right? Inflation's happening, okay? And yeah. £1 a month today is like 25p... last year, so up it to like £5 a month and we're good.
Do you like SciGuys, but it's just not quite unhinged enough for you, and it's a little bit too sort of structured and on topic, and also not personal enough about Corey and I's inner lives? Well, you're gonna love the Patreon.
Everything you could want is on there, except for many of the things that you could want. It's really perfect.
Literally no filter. I told a story on there about a police officer that I know that I would never tell out in the real world. And literally, just no filter whatsoever because there's not as many people watching. It's hidden away. It's not on the public internet. Vladimir Putin can't see it unless he pays £5 a month. It's all going to be fine.
Yeah, but you're saying unhinged, right? So if SciGuys is normally a squeaky door that's kind of like, you know, hanging on its hinges a little bit, the Patreon would be one of those bead doors, you know, that were popular 20 years ago. You know, a door that's just strings of beads.
Oh, like you're entering a meat freezer. Or like the back bit in a shop, in like a corner shop, where it's like refrigerated in there.
Yeah, sometimes they had them in corner shops. I was thinking more in someone's house who's a little bit like, I like crystals. I like astronomy. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Astronomy? Astrology. Astrology, okay. Not astronomy.
A bead door. Maybe the beads are made out of like crystals that take away all of your energy or whatever it is. And they go, maybe yes. I need this in my house.
And that's the cause of ADHD. Back to the episode.
Back to the episode. See you on the Patreon.
So in this little paper, which again, is like 5 pages and very readable. So if you're interested, you can read it. Linked below. They then talk about circadian markers and mechanisms. So they talk about things like melatonin, cortisol, blah, 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 other things like that. Do you know what melatonin is, Luke?
Sleepy! It's the thing that builds up in your brain as it gets towards sundown, and it creates what's called sleep pressure, which is your brain, you can feel the sleepy just going like, come on, you know you want to. And then if you ignore it, it goes even more, ooh, come on, you know you want to. And then if you're me, if you leave it for too long, then it just goes, okay, you don't want to. And then you can't get to sleep for like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's like playing hard to get with your melatonin, then it's like, it just gives up. It's like, yeah, no, you know what? You're too hard to get.
Yeah, I'm not going to sleep playing this game.
Melatonin respects itself, okay?
melatonin boundaries.
No, look, melatonin, I guess what you said is kind of correct. But the answer I was looking for is melatonin is that thing that I bring back from the US, or ask anyone that I know who goes to the US to bring back for me, because you can't buy it in the UK.
Yeah, I had a massive tub of it that I gave to you and Noah. And then I read this study and I was like, damn, I wish I hadn't given away all that melatonin.
We've run out now.
No! Now we have to go to Trump land to get it. Which of us is going? Come on. Which is the drug mule? Come on.
To be fair, look, we know lots of people who do jobs that mean they go to America all the time. So whenever anyone's there. No, yeah, genuinely. Whenever anyone's there, they'll get a message from me or Noah saying, can you bring us back melatonin, please? Thank you. That and gushers. But no, so melatonin, yeah, you're spot on. There's not really much more that I need to say. It makes you feel sleepy, which again, that feeling of people say they like falling asleep. I've realized I like that feeling of just about to fall asleep. You know, that's the best thing in the world. I will chase that feeling like a drug. Honestly, man. Like it's, oh, I wake up in the morning and I'm like,
I feel like P. Diddy.
I don't. I feel like, oh, I could just fall back asleep right now. I'm still in that little haze. Oh, isn't this amazing? And then trying to go to sleep when you're not feeling sleepy, worst thing ever.
So you mean the sleep wakey phasey thing?
Yeah, that specific little bit just before you're like, you know, that's
isn't
the
there
sweet
a scientist
spot.
Who like created some mechanism where he sat there with something that made him almost fall asleep, and then he wrote down whatever ideas he had in that sleepy place?
Oh yeah, we spoke about this on the podcast at some point. It was someone like Einstein or something, where they'd sleep with like a glass of water or something, and so they'd fall. Or maybe it was Nikola Tesla, so that when he fell asleep, it would wake him up immediately, because he thought that kind of falling asleep phase was allowing you to be more creative and come up with different ideas or whatever. But no, melatonin, basically they're just kind of talking about what melatonin is, except no, they're not. I find that from somewhere else. It's synthesized and secreted in the pineal gland. Luke, did you know that?
I did not.
Well,
no.
Now you do.
To be clear as well, with melatonin, it doesn't make you sleep, doesn't make you stay asleep. It just drives up your desire to sleep.
Yeah.
It won't help you stay asleep if you have already fallen asleep. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, no. It's not like the sleep sort of what's the word, hormone or chemical or whatever, right? It's the sort of, it's just a anesthetic.
Yeah, it's
that's
not
totally
like
different,
yeah,
as well.
It doesn't keep you asleep is my point. Yeah.
Yeah, anesthetic just knocks you out though, which is not the same as not the same as sleep. But no, so it doesn't, yeah, it doesn't like sort of make you stay asleep. You're right. It's just kind of makes you want to go to sleep, if that makes sense. And then cortisol is kind of almost the exact opposite. Cortisol is a stress hormone. And it affects your metabolism, immune activity, cardiovascular tone, stress response, all of these sorts of things, right? So if you have like high cortisol, you can get obesity, muscle wasting, hypertension, glucose intolerance. Low cortisol can cause fatigue, hypotension, weight loss, and hyperpigmentation. So cortisol, very important thing. Also involved in the sleep-wake cycle. I think cortisol would be sort of waking you up, really.
Yeah, it's the first thing. I think you literally get one spike of it a day. When you first wake up, you get this spike of cortisol that has to sort of last you throughout the day, as far as I understand. Obviously, like you might get cortisol if you're stressed or something, but the sort of wakefulness cortisol spike is just like zoop up, and then it sort of slowly decays throughout the day.
Sorry, you saying that has just reminded me of what the youths are talking about. So obviously, a lot of our audience are women, which is totally cool. You know, we're both staunch feminists, but also we want to maybe cultivate more of a young male audience as well. So I think we should kind of dip our toes into the Luke's maxing stuff. And I'll tell you about this, Luke. Luke's maxing is not like you maxing.
Me, that's what I'm doing, to be fair. I've always been Luke maxing.
You've always been maximally Luke, which is you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Sometimes I've tried not to be, but most of the time I'm trying to be me.
But, you know, Luke's maxing. So they've got this whole thing now where they say a cortisol spike when something stresses you out. They've got all this sort of lingo, like, you know, you can mog someone. Have you heard of mogging, Luke?
No, it's what, being a cat, pretending to be a cat?
No, I'm mogging you if I'm kind of beating you, making you look bad by comparison.
Beta, making me look like a beta male.
Oh, that's so far gone, Luke. No. That's from like 10 years ago now.
Oh.
That's like, you know, kids nowadays, they're not talking about betas and cucks, okay?
Thank goodness
it's about
that.
It's about being Loker Kenuinely. It's about being a looks maxer, and also I don't remember any of these other words, Luke. It's insane. I'll tell you about clavicular another time, okay?
Clavicular, it sounds like a part of a duck or something.
It's about your clavicle.
Oh.
But there's this guy called clavicular, I think because of his prominent we'll discuss this another time, because I genuinely think people would love to see you discover what young men are doing on the internet now. Basically, to put a long story short, if we don't talk about this on the Patreon, we'll talk about it somewhere else at some point. But to put a long story short, all the stuff that they've been doing for young women to make them feel bad about themselves,
yeah,
they're now doing it to young boys too.
Equality! That's finally, we get a little bit of taste of the pie.
It's a terrible pie. It's filled with cigarette ash. And honestly, genuinely, a tiny little bit of crystal meth.
That's all right. All the ADHD kids are taking that anyway.
No. So we've been through cortisol. We've been through melatonin. And yeah, essentially what they're talking about through that, throughout this is they talk about sort of cortisol. They talk about melatonin. Then they're like, people with ADHD, they don't do this so good. So blunted and delayed cortisol rhythms are also present in ADHD. Essentially, there's just loads of studies that they're kind of bringing together and saying the results of these are showing that people with ADHD suck at doing these very normal things.
Regulating sleep.
Yeah. And so they then kind of talk about treatment as well. So before that, they actually talk about clock gene expression. Did you read that bit where it talks about clock gene expression at all?
No. Clock gene expression.
Yes. So there are a couple genes proteins that are really important in your circadian rhythm, sort of your internal body clock. Mm-hmm. And they form a feedback loop to control gene expression in a cyclical manner. And essentially, people with ADHD
have... It's all over the place.
Yeah. It says here, experience shifted endocrine signals, melatonin/cortisol, coupled with molecular disruptions via the loss of rhythmic expression of clock genes. Mm. So it goes to like a sort of epigenetic level as well, apparently. Which is nuts, right? Like, it's beyond, it's like, the data that they're talking about here is beyond just like, oh, people with ADHD wake up at different times. It's like, no, if you look in their bodies, the actual chemicals that are supposed to be doing all of these things are out of whack.
But it's interesting, the crucial thing I think that is the takeaway of the study is this is not, as far as I can remember, or as far as I could tell from the from reading the study, it's not just correlation here. It's not just like, oh, someone with ADHD also has these bad things, right, with their sleep. It's literally, if you then take steps to treat these underlying things, some of the other upstream effects of ADHD, like the symptoms, like the distractibility, like the hyperactivity, those also improve. Is that correct?
I think so.
Suggesting it's more causal rather than just correlation.
I think so. I don't have the answer to that exact question in my notes in front of me right now. But
that's
broadly,
why we're all here, Corey. We need to be cured.
No, broadly. So you kind of hit on the treatment part. So we'll blast through that first, right? Let's just find it. Let's blast through. So the treatment, they talk about melatonin supplements, like you were saying earlier. That was the point that you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. about giving people melatonin. I think it was 5 hours earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently
it's way earlier than you'd normally take it.
You should take it usually just before bed, sort of thing.
Half an hour, yeah.
Yeah. So what was this? A randomized placebo-controlled trial of 101 medication-free children with ADHD and chronic sleep onset insomnia were given 3 to 6 milligrams of melatonin nightly for 4 weeks. And it advanced their, DLMO, and I don't remember what that is, daylight member. It basically...
Where their various things, like their cortisol spikes and their melatonin production fell.
I know what it is. I don't know what the words stand for.
I know, but they don't know. I'm explaining for them. I'm not telling
you. Oh, no, absolutely. Thank you. So basically, they put that advanced it by 44 minutes, and while the control group had a delay of 13 minutes, so it kind of brought back their sort of circadian rhythm to be more in line, their sort of body clock to be more in line with a normal body clock. They also slept longer, 20 minutes longer with melatonin versus a loss of 14 minutes in the control group. But there was no identified changes in cognitive performance or problem behavior within that 4-week period with that specific study there.
Uh-huh.
But in a long-term follow-up of a study of this cohort, 65% of participants continued daily melatonin. Discontinuation resulted in a phase delay of sleep in 92% of children. So taking the melatonin obviously helped with the sleep phases. And when you stop taking it, then it has an impact, which is I think maybe one of the reasons that it's not available to buy in the UK, because if you take it all the time, it can impact...
Dampens your production.
Exactly, yeah. Positive improvements in behavior and mood were reported after that sort of long-term follow-up, right? Mm-hmm. So in four weeks, it didn't it didn't improve things noticeably. But after the follow-up, there was quite a significant improvement in behavior and mood, whilst doing the sort of melatonin thing for a long time, which is great, right? I mean, I started taking melatonin, and it was helping with going to sleep. Obviously, you still need to choose to go to bed. And
that's the hardest part.
It's really hard.
I've been really sleepy and I've still been like, but I'm just going to make a bad decision.
I will fall asleep on the sofa, absolutely exhausted, because I'm like, no, I'll go upstairs in like 10 minutes because I'm too tired to get up and go to bed.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
And then I wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I have to go to bed now.
I don't feel nearly enough like P. Diddy yet.
Why is it that you keep on mentioning him?
Because you keep on saying, wake up in the morning.
That's it. No more. We're not allowed to mention him
again. Not allowed to wake up in the morning ever again.
Oh my God.
ADHD hours only.
So bright light therapy also is something that they were looking at. They were looking at studies on bright light therapy. Do you know how bright light therapy might help you out?
Yeah, well, it sort of simulates a sunrise, I suppose. You get those like bedside sunrise clocks. I've got one of them, but I don't use it. Probably should. Where basically, because you've got receptors in your eyes that respond, I think, to blue light, although I also read something separately that maybe that was just brightness of light and not blue light. But the idea basically is that it's one of the mechanisms your brain uses to sort of calibrate your body clock to know what time of day it is like the sky, right? Because for millions of years we woke up and we saw the sky when we woke up, and now we either get up too early for that because our jobs make us get up early, too late, too early for that, or we don't see the sky because we're inside all day. So the idea is like, just blast your brain with light in the morning, and then hopefully that will tell your brain it's morning. You're meant to feel awake. You're not meant to feel sleepy. Which also then has the other effect of like, you know when you're supposed to feel sleepy down the line in the nighttime.
Yeah, absolutely. Because melatonin production is affected by sort of your circadian rhythm, your internal body clock, all of that sort of stuff. It's affected by daylight for the reasons that you're bringing up, right? So DLMO, by the way, that acronym that I couldn't remember what it stood for, dim light melatonin onset or something. Yeah.
Okay.
But they were looking at studies into bright light therapy. So there was a pilot trial, 2 weeks, morning bright light therapy, 10,000 lux lamp, advanced DLMO by 31 minutes and mid-sleep time by 57 minutes in adults with ADHD. So that's not like, obviously not a massive change if you're, you know, not sleeping until like the early hours of the morning, but still it's significant enough. Like 57 minutes of longer sleep is good, right?
Yeah, and combining with other things, it maybe would stack.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
and that's just with the bright light therapy, right? And so there was a significant interaction between ADHD rating scales and hyperactive impulsive subscores with phase advances in DLMO and mid sleep time. Basically, what you were saying earlier, where these things seem to the sort of symptoms of ADHD, a lot of the sort of problems that you have with ADHD seem to be correlated, tied in some way to these sort of sleep phases, this sort of DLMO, all of these sorts of things to do with the sort of when you're going to sleep and how long you're sleeping and how good your sort of sleep is. So they talk about a few studies there. They talk about how sort of seasonal affective disorder, it's 27% amongst adults with ADHD, with females at the highest risk. And a seasonal affective disorder is another sort of, it's basically depression that's caused by not getting enough daylight. So happens in, we did an episode on it, so you can go and watch that. But it's interesting that that's also quite high in people with ADHD as well, because a lot of this is pointing to sort of your body just isn't sort of dealing properly, I guess, with the sort of triggers to make you feel sleepy and to make you feel awake, which then can cause other issues maybe because of that. And it might not just be, you know, it could be a case of not just sort of these things causing everything with ADHD, but these things exacerbating some sort of ADHD issues as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's also important, I guess, to say as well that like, even if you got to sleep at the right time or in a time that would be good for you, for your body, you might not sleep as deeply. If your body is still sort of wanting to be awake, you might like not drop into the right level of sleep. I remember listening to a guy who was like a trauma therapist or something akin to that. He was basically talking about how like getting the right type of sleep helps to heal PTSD, because there's a part of your sleep phase, where your brain is essentially reprocessing emotions in a way where your cortisol, your stress response, is not triggering because you're asleep. And if you never get that, then you basically never actually process those emotions. You just only ever remember them with cortisol spikes. You never like dampen that cortisol response. I'm butchering this from memory, by the way. But like, you know, that's one example of something. Because I never really understood why sleep was so important until I sort of looked into it and was like, oh my gosh, it's not just my body tired, my body needs to lie down. It's like your brain is going into different states and then is like, processing these emotions and is consolidating memories and all that stuff. And if you interrupt that, well, is it any wonder you don't know where your keys are?
Yeah, no, sleep is so important. You're so spot on. And the thing is as well that we don't understand sleep as well as, you know, people might think that we do. Mm. You know, there's still a lot of mysteries surrounding what sleep sort of, what happens to our bodies whilst we sleep. Like how sleep impacts different systems and the importance of sleep. We know sleep is important. We know that you need to sleep and that good sleep is like one of the sort of, I guess, most important factors in good health, right? Mm. But we don't necessarily know what sleep does in its totality, right? Like there are still mysteries that we're looking into. We've done a whole episode on that as well. Great episode to be sort of referencing other ones there, Luke. Good job on sending this to me. And the last treatment thing that they did was behavioral. So they talk about a trial, a randomized trial of 244 kids with ADHD and a behavioral sleep intervention. So two fortnightly sessions with strategies provided by psychologists or pediatricians and a follow-up telephone call. Basically, they say that doing these things significantly improved severity of ADHD symptoms, sleep and quality of life, behavior and functioning at 6 months post-intervention. So I don't want people coming away from this thinking that we're saying, you know, ADHD is just caused by your circadian rhythm being out of whack. What they kind of talk about here is that a lot of these studies are showing that if you treat sort of the sleep issues, a lot of the other problems with ADHD will lessen. But I feel like it's interesting, right, to me, because it's like, yes, with better sleep, these problems will probably lessen. But nothing here is saying that they completely go away. You know, it just reduces the severity. So it could be a case of, you know, almost a feedback loop, right? Of whatever is going wrong with your body impacts you in the ways that cause the sort of standard symptoms of ADHD. It also impacts your circadian rhythm such that you don't sleep well, you don't sleep long enough, you don't sleep at the right times, all of these sorts of things, which then just exacerbates the symptoms of ADHD.
I mean, I feel like it's almost certain that there's some kind of feedback loop going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if you continue to think of ADHD in the way we currently think about ADHD, it's still, you know, we know it gets exacerbated by bad sleep. So there is a feedback loop of like, you have ADHD and then you don't sleep and then you have even more ADHD and then you don't sleep again even more and then you have even more ADHD. Something has to interrupt that cycle at some point. I feel like it kind of everything in anything to do with the body, anything to do with the brain, mental health, everything, it's all sort of positive and negative feedback loops, isn't it? So this is just a different angle to attack that feedback loop. And, you know, in the same way that we go, you know, when you're growing up and you don't know you have ADHD, you go, well, let me think about my behavior as if it's just a moral failing and I'm a bad person. And then you do that and you shame yourself and you whatever, and you don't, you know, that doesn't work very well. And then you go, okay, now let's think about it in terms of a neurodevelopmental or a neurodivergence. Oh, it turns out that works a little bit. Okay, now let's think about it in terms of if it was a sleep disorder, what would I do then? Oh, turns out like sleeping helps. It's just a different angle to think on the same symptoms. And you have to assess whether that angle is helpful or not, and what it necessitates that you then do based on the angle you're looking at it from. And it turns out this is potentially a good angle and might be complementary to all that meth they give you.
No, absolutely. Don't say that. It's not. It's something different. It's methylphenidate. It's not the same.
I'm joking.
But there was another study that Noah sent me, I think, and I hadn't actually looked at it properly, but I think it was about the medication that apparently, it was similar to this. I think it was apparently the, what's it called? Elvance. And medications like it affect wakefulness rather than doing anything about, I mean, they're stimulants, obviously, so that's what they do, but it helps ADHD symptoms by making you just feel more awake, basically mimicking a good night's sleep, and that's what makes you more able to do stuff.
Yes. Well, I can absolutely attest, because that's what medication I'm on, that it makes me feel very awake, but doesn't do anything else. I feel perfectly awake and I'm very, very aware of how bad I'm doing at everything else.
I'd rather be sleepy so I don't notice how bad I'm doing.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
No, the interesting thing though is that behavioral approaches seem to have a lot of impact. So I spoke with that study that they mentioned about with kids, but there's one where they looked at adults. It was a group of 22 individuals, and there were sort of behavioral interventions that they kind of gave them to sort of improve their circadian rhythm, or I say improve, shift their circadian mm-hmm. rhythm to be more in line with sort of a normal person's circadian rhythm, right? And so I'll just list off what the general principles they mention are. So that's waking up 2 to 3 hours earlier, waking up at the same time every day, maximizing morning light exposure, reducing evening light exposure, avoid late dinners, avoid caffeine after 3 p.m., exercise in the morning, avoid naps in the late afternoon.
Ah, oh, that sounds like a to-do list for me.
That's really, like, and the annoying thing is that it's like, yes, doing all of these things would help. It's hard to do all of these things. Mm. And obviously that doesn't mean you shouldn't do them, but you kind of have to find a balance sometimes of like, okay, well, I need to get some stuff done because I can't just not do anything. But putting in the effort to do all of these things can make it harder to get stuff done. Obviously, in the long run, it can have improvements, but in that short term, it's really hard. And it's really hard to do it. And then again, it's really hard to keep it up as well. Mm-hmm. If you have ADHD, I'd recommend trying all of these sorts of things. Because when I was taking melatonin before it ran out, I definitely did notice that there was a sort of improvement just in having a routine before going to bed and taking the thing and knowing that I'll be sleepy and making it easier to be like, okay, I can choose when I'm going to get that sort of like pull into falling asleep, and I can choose to have it when I'm upstairs ready for bed rather than just like whenever then ignoring it because I'm like, well, I'm feeling sleepy, but I'm not ready to go to bed yet.
Yeah.
I'm not in the right, I've not got everything set up. But no, in 3 weeks, though, that intervention group shifted their DLMO by 2 hours, and wake-up time advanced by 1.9 hours, and peak cortisol advanced by 2.2 hours.
Wow.
So, yeah, like a two-hour shift.
That's more than the average shift that ADHD people have, which is 90 minutes.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's great. So all of these sorts of things. But then I'm thinking, do people just normally do that? Yeah, people normally, I guess, wake up at the same time every day and generally get light in the morning and generally, you know, won't be sitting on their phone scrolling all night. I mean, obviously, people often do that, right? But that's a very easy problem for people to
not
stop.
To do. Yeah. Well, that's easier said than done.
Well, no, it's an easier problem for someone without ADHD to stop doing than for someone with ADHD, right?
Like, sure. I don't think anyone's nailing it, but yeah.
No, it's hard. It's hard. But if you have ADHD, it is clinically more difficult for you to do. Yeah. And depression scores decreased by roughly 58%. Stress scores by 40% in the intervention group. Cognitive performance, physical performance also improved, and they say that this could be a low-cost, effective strategy to provide structured guidance to those with ADHD. Those specific trials in this population are needed. Yeah, and bear in mind, it was 22 people, and so it might not work for everyone, but 22 people, and it's like, these are pretty simple things to be aware of. Not necessarily simple things to do, but simple things to be aware of. And if you do that, I guess, maybe in tandem with medication, in tandem with melatonin, and even bright light therapy as well, right? Putting your phone away before bed, all of these sorts of things, it could make things a lot easier. But these aren't things that necessarily are, I mean, you're obviously recommended to do these things when you get the medication, when you speak to the doctor, like they recommend, you know, the same thing they recommend to everyone, get enough sleep, blah, 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 blah. But having like a sort of specific thing targeted towards people with ADHD, basically saying, okay, if you do all of these things, you will feel better, you know? That would probably be like really, really, really helpful as well, you know?
But it won't make money for the drug companies, Corey.
Yeah, that's so true.
Won't somebody think of the drug companies?
The drug companies do plenty of thinking for the about the drug companies.
No, actually, it's fine. The drug companies can sell us melatonin. They'll be
fine. That's so true. Yeah, yay! They can sell us melatonin and then everybody wins.
Balance is restored.
I was going to say, why not just sell us a sugar pill?
Crucially, balance sheet is restored.
So, sheet. Okay, very good. Okay, you and your economics jokes, Luke. That's it. That's enough. This episode is over, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Yes, I have already started making changes to my life because of reading this study, and I'll detail what those are on the Patreon.
Too late, Luke. Sorry, there's not enough time. Sorry, cutting you off. That's it. That is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons and thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupforth everywhere.
And you can follow us both to the Patreon. Ha! I got it.
Ahaha. Ahaha.